on. We're going to give chapter 4 a try.
Chapter 4 a shot.
No pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You did wonderfully last time, though.
Thank you. Let's live up. Do I just go, then? I don't
handle it.
All right, here we go. The bigger the asshole, the bigger the problem. The purple crystals were more damaging and more exhausting than anything this side of day traders. You can't tell which substances are which when you don't know your ass from Estelauda, Colin. It takes two to cause an explosion. This time I was gritting my toes. Dawn, Colin contested. Don't you think it's significant that bombs never come in designer colors? People just don't take the time for anything that doesn't have the approximate value of a home in Bel Air.
Yeah.
Oh my Christ. I can't even tell if I'm alive. I talk and nonsense floats out. Colin talks and I can't even tell if he's speaking the English. Yeah, don't you see? No one bombs, but in color, Colin said and said again. Let's go bomb the downtown business district. He had put the emphasis on go, just to fuck with my emotions. What was that? I asked Colin. Playing with his emotions like a meter maid playing with tubs and tubs of Crayola crayons. I broke out my backpack, pulled out some paper, and found a crayon. Look at this. Don't you see what a parasitic bastard you are, he asked. I looked as he poured emphysema all over my paper and grabbed my crayon. This guy was an instruction manual waiting to happen. The instructions were written in a trowel of paper that he had been colored in by someone whose parents had never impressed upon them the importance of staying within the lines. Let's go bomb something. Colin did incite the pyromaniac in me. We have everything we need. All right. I agree with you. Finally, a sensible person. How come whenever I talk with Michelle, it always ends up ridiculous? We're going with substance, instead of quick, minuscule sentiment and the resulting combination of one problem after another. We're doing no such thing until we establish our position in the Pissoirs of Arabia, I told him. I told Colin. The bastard in a tube didn't know what I was on about. Great idea, he responded. We got to the escalator Dad had built for our house and went to the kitchen. It looked like a Vince McGillian saloon. Jonathan Mueller was juggling chimpanzees and talking so loudly that the tornado wouldn't have drowned him out. I looked at Michelle on the sofa. She was lying back like a dilettante, looking at Jonathan like he was the latest opposition to a protected wetlands habitat. She thinks boys are steaming chunks of horse turd, except when she looks at Jonathan. When she looks at Jonathan, she thinks, kill the rainforest. Let's go. I was so sure. I pushed myself in the cat pants and went bentamistooling into the living room. I wasn't there 5 minutes when Michelle called me an incredible dumbass and a disgrace. Colin just made me sick. Are you ready? Colin asked, indicating he thought I was a problem of leviathanic proportion. Yes. I was so sure again that all I could say was yes. But then again, I need water to breathe. What the decimal point are you talking about, knucklehead? Colin burped. Oh, my Christ in hell. After I pulverize this armadillo, I'm watching People's Court. Colin was looking at me like I was 8 months pregnant and about to take the couch apart for firewood. But I wasn't going to do that. Hell no. I was again, so sure. Colin was the kind of guy who left tubes of toothpaste all over the house, but never brushed his teeth. Hell no doesn't mean kick me in the nads. Idiots! Why are you still alive? Michelle could smell us from Encino, and we could see her worn-in spot on the sofa from Charlotte. Her expression told me she was going to drop off her eyeballs at Lens Crafters for a tuna. Are you on probation, Al? She asked me. No, I'm not. I mentioned, no shit. You don't even know how to play with yourself. And you never will until you give yourself over to a nunnery, Michelle was griping. Isn't there an instruction booklet that comes with you? Fuck the hermetic, Siegel instruction booklet, Colin exclaimed. Throwing a paper airplane? It's not my fault that a house was bombed in a living color. Hot explosion. Thanks, Colin, I thought. Thanks a lot. Do you think you're going to bomb the entire odor of my high school reunion? Michelle said with a grit of a guppy. You do that, and I'll tell Mom and Dad you're held together with Velcro. Colin and I froze in the kitchen. And am I ever going to have any peace? Or are you going to keep playing mind games? Michelle was griping like a Spalding basketball. Does your brother know what color your house was bombed in? I heard it. But I couldn't believe that Michelle had said it. Are you sure we have the same mom and dad? I asked. My sense was that that was a completely stupid question. What she described as playing around, I described as gravely serious. But it doesn't take a pissant to know that Michelle and her friends think I'm the devil, come to study how to bomb them all into living color. What are we going to do with this porcateria? Colin asked me, under a salty breath. Shut up, sponge cake. Since when are you a bastard? Colin asked me. I am not. I'm just tired and I've got piles. That would shut Colin up. But how to shut Michelle up was a rare matter, like neon rain. You're gonna start being a fucker now, Colin grunted. All I could hear were visions of pork rinds dancing in my vicious fluid. No, I'm not gonna be a fucker. I'm gonna be a Sikh. High on oleander leaves, I contested. A colloquialism would have been lamer, but more appropriate. Let's go play Martin Graminica and not tell my mom. She wouldn't know what the heck a fire was if I came up and said, I'm a fire and I'm as stupid as Michelle. Why are you preoccupied with putting down Michelle? Colin asked me. Michelle takes her contrariness everywhere. Well, everywhere except shirt hunting. That makes sense. Well, maybe in the next century it would make sense. Chester was sitting in the rain of the sauna. If I had a quarter for every time he did that, I'd be God. I'd also probably be in for a prolonged mauling. And after that, I'd have to walk and carry myself at the same time. I'd be moving along as fast as probate. I'd be moving as a soft drink that had been laid on instead of drink. Drink. Why don't you take your math problems and shove them where the stars don't shine, Chester? I asked him. Chester took a single second too long to respond. Fuck it then, and fuck you. I sounded like Lady Di after she had a few too many vodka shiver shots. There was a vicious substance of indeterminable color seeping from my underwear, seeping from my pajamas. A little bit of the substance was responsible for getting Chester pregnant. And we filled the pool with the rest of it. And then we did the hokey pokey. And then we sneezed out our last breath and turned ourselves around. This was in the days before science figured out that the vicious substance, insidious as it was only salt, water, and a pinch of oregano. After they found out that this was basically a salty salad dressing, they threw everyone in prison that had touched the substance or had put it down anyone's pants. Look, Colin woke up and said, this resonates even in parts of today. 10-1. Colin's been drinking rat's blood. The substance had been traced all the way to the mountains, and half of it was made into pasta by the local chapter of Italians Anonymous. Now it was making its way into our house. My mom had made me marry the Northern Hemisphere when that stuff got into the house last year. And the local circuit judge had declared that I was a steaming pile of sake, and had given an enormous roll of toilet paper. As rude as it was tired, it was better than the grand tomatoing that Colin got. And you lost the use of your tongue, I added to his misery. You couldn't say whether you were just a steaming pile or a steaming pile with substance. Colin saw his manhood evolve from a rock to toadstool in the span of 10 cubic seconds. Then it got rolled up like a wad of paper and tossed into a garbage can like a basketball. He was no pussy, but he wouldn't see his manhood until All Abs Day. The problem was wadded up paper. Was that it doesn't absorb the substance formerly known as salad dressing. Any other time it would have absorbed it, but this time it kissed the substance on the cheek and ran off. That was really weird, Colin exclaimed. Rare, but weird. It was probably not of this world, I sugarcoated. With all the paper in the world in my palm of my hand, you couldn't think I'd be a little funkier. I travel the world looking at paper, and the substance sticks to me like a sponge of tin jello. I encourage myself to be lame. I tell the lamest jokes this side of Billy Crystal. Colin ordained that one right from the middle of his outer gums, which were the color of non-abrasive neon. We're never going to amount to anything other than limping pork rinds. Limping pork rinds trying to escape the ravages of time in our hands. Colin hissed like a gigantic paper baseball. It wasn't even his turn to talk, and he's blabbing and sinking his fangs into the substance. We have what we don't need, I told him. We have what other people just look at. My mom couldn't leg out an infield hit if her tripe depended on it. She goes from 0 to 90 in 10. I was bringing up more topics than I had been able to write down, and certainly more than my combative senses and nerves could fandango. We couldn't stop mentioning the substance. We mentioned it every day, until even our house got sick of it and started smoking like a fish. And we took away its paper. Watch out! But the final straw, the proverbial hand that broke the banker's back, was probably when we started singing about the substance. That's right, Colin groaned. And we're going to do it with all this paper. Tie it to a tree somewhere in India. I looked at him like the shrew he was. At that moment, I felt like taking all the paper in the world and shoving it where the mountains don't shine. No, I don't want to tie it to a fucking tree. I want to take it and wrap it around your neck, I responded. I think a cord would have worked better. Colin was getting testy. Or maybe a tire iron. Or a basket of Ensure. No, no. I'll use a Tampax. And I'll put it where the mushrooms roam. No one will recognize you until Saturday, I explained graphically. I don't want what you have. What I haven't. What rats eat. Or what that freaking substance. It started to occur to me that I was seeing things. Until just recently, I had taken everything that had come my way, capitalized on it, and moved on. It had been perfect. We're going to have to start metering, I said. And the more we meter, the more I don't give a good goddamn. My mom had told me that in a moment of clarity. Colin started tapping his foot on the floor. He was leaning in the exact way the cats do when their tiara is too big. Hey, Al, are you coming out of your bedwetting mind? Mom knew how to piss me off fast. You're a toy in this toy box called life.
Yes, Tyler, thank you.
Thank you.